afternoon and welcome on in to Kildare Focus. You're listening to Kildare's KFM. It's Friday, the 29th of September. Caoimhe Hearney here with you until 3. Coming up first on today's show, we'll speak to Dearan Sweeney. She's a Sallins resident. She's also a spokesperson for the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission. Is it time to review your mortgage? At 2:20, Lucia Ebbs, CEO of Cry Ireland, will tell us why Cry Ireland is offering free counselling sessions to help people cope with mental pressures of having a heart problem. Carmel Murphy, spokesperson for Athgarvan Women's Shed, will join us and tell us about the strength of the shed and why they're looking for new members. And then lastly, we'll hear from the Green Schools Travel Manager at Ontashka, because next week is Walk to School Week. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can call in on 045 898 999. You can email to studio@kfmradio.com, or of course you can send me in a text or WhatsApp.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Hearney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, as mortgage rates continue to rise, the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, or the CCPC, has published advice for consumers on how to ensure that they are getting the best rate on their mortgage. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Dearan Sweeney, spokesperson for the CCPC. Good afternoon, Dearan.
Good afternoon, Caoimhe.
Dearan, firstly, tell us about how you could actually review your mortgage, because I think people out there sometimes don't know that you can actually switch.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose mortgages, I think anyone when they first sign up for mortgage, it's quite an undertaking, and there's a lot of paperwork and there's nearly relief when you get across the line and you know it's there, it comes out every month out of your account, your home is above you, and it is when you buy a house, it's all about your home. But your mortgage is for 30, 40 years, depending what age you are when you buy. So particularly at the moment, because rates have changed and have increased quite significantly, and also because the property market has improved in terms of the value of people's houses, it's never been a better time to have a look at whether you could get a better rate. You may not. You could look and you could research it and go, you know what, it's not. It's only €50 a year. That's not going to be worthwhile. But you could find, because there's a huge variety of rates in the market at the moment. So the first thing that you must do is actually find out the information about your mortgage. I have to admit to being very guilty of this. I actually, until I started working here, I couldn't tell you my mortgage rate. So looking to see what rate you're currently on and whether you're on a standard variable rate or a fixed rate or a tracker rate, and get that information.
Okay, so know your rate, know what you already have. Then that can give you the setup, basically, to go and find out, is your rate good or could you do better?
Exactly. So we provide tools, and which is why we're out at the moment. We have a very unique tool that we compare all major providers of mortgages independently. We don't earn any commission from it. So, and it takes minimal amount of effort. So all you need is your outstanding balance, your current rate, and how long is left in your mortgage. That's all you need. And if you go to our website, ccpc.ie, you'll find the tool there. So you insert that detail and it'll show you from highest to lowest what's the best rate you could get. And it's important to look at the standard variable rate or the fixed rate and look at the rate itself and not be swayed by the likes of cash back or any additional kind of incentives. Look at the rate. That's what you're going to be paying every month for the next however amount of time you have the mortgage.
Okay, and the third piece of advice is something that you didn't do until you worked at the CCPC, Dearan, but to get mortgage savvy and know what is entailed in it.
Yeah, that's back to what I mentioned there. So not only is there a huge variety of rates at the moment, but there's actually different types of mortgages. And one of the big ones, you were saying I'm a Sallins resident. I seem to be a Carra resident. I'm currently in the market of looking at mortgages at the moment. And a new thing in the last 5 years are this idea of green mortgages. And a lot of financial institutions are offering a better rate for having a good energy-rated house. By good, it's a B3 or higher. So particularly if you've got a newish house or if you've done some work in doing it, it may be worth your while getting an energy rating for your house to see if you qualify for a green mortgage rate, and that could improve it. The other way of doing it is to check to see the value of your house. As I mentioned, house prices values have gone up, which means you might have, when you bought the house, you might have put a 10% deposit down, so you would have a 90% what's called loan to value, so loan versus the value of the property. This now could reduce down quite significantly, and if you have a lower loan to value, you most likely will get a better rate. So looking at those kind of little bits could make a huge difference in your rate.
Mm, particularly if you bought, you know, in the middle of the last crash, you know, after the crash, you could be talking about like big savings there. So then number four, then act now. So basically no time like the present.
Definitely, but I suppose we're particularly talking, if you're on a variable rate at the moment, it is definitely worth your while to have a look. There is huge variety out there at the moment. If you're on a variable rate at the moment and you're finding it hard, definitely look to see, could you fix in for a year or two? Can you afford that rate? If you're on a fixed rate, which is what I was, and it expires in August, look around before it expires. You'll get a letter from the bank saying this is the best off rates we can provide you with, but start your research now. If you're on a fixed rate and you don't know when it expires, contact the bank to find out, because this is something to start maybe about 6 months from when you're about to end, to look around, to look at what your current rates are at the moment and what your options are. You can go to the bank and look to see if it is in, say, 5 months' time. You can contact the bank and ask them if they'll it'll cost you to break out of it. But it's all very unique. But as I said, if you go first, find out what your rate is, find out what the other options are, and then get some contact a broker or independent financial advice, they'll help you make that decision.
Okay, like you were saying, get professional advice, and because sometimes you just don't know yourself, and in all fairness, you have to just pull in people. Like, there's no harm in saying, I don't know anything about this, and ask a professional.
Absolutely, they're very complex. In another world, I worked in financial services, I struggle to understand mortgages. It's so, because they're so complex, it's one of those things that's easy to kind of push down to the back of your mind. Particularly at the moment, everybody, you know, their money needs to work the hardest that it possibly can. So now is a good time just to find that. As it is, go to our tool, and if your rate is saying it's 50 euro a year you'd save, you probably wouldn't, you know, bother. But if you're seeing, you know, to give you an example at the moment, we have standard variable rates from mortgage providers from 3.5% up to 6.45%. That is a huge difference. If you're on that 6.45%, that is a big rate to be paying, that you could see a big reduction on your monthly repayments that would be back in your pocket. So it's kind of taking this as and hearing our voices and talking about this as a little prompt to go just to have a look first. It's minimal investment at this point. And if then there is, you know what, it could be a couple of hundred euro a month I could save, then get that professional advice. They're there, particularly a broker will be there to advise you. But you also have the information, you know what rates you could get, which is, it means you're really well equipped in going into conversation with a professional financial advisor.
Okay, and if anyone wants to go on to that website again, it's www.ccpc.ie. Dearan Sweeney, spokesperson for the CCPC. Thank you very much, Dearan, and best of luck with the move to Cara.
Thanks a million.
Now, unfortunately, to be the bearer of bad news, but in news just in, 12,691 people registered as homeless in the state in August. And that's just in a snap news in. But there will be more to follow there. Not sure about the Kildare figures from last year or from last month yet. But we do know that there had been some problems in relation to the way that the homeless figures were actually registered in Dublin. So they're going to say that there was a change there. I think there was an error of 300 on one of the months. But for August now, they're saying 12,691 people were registered as homeless. And of course, they're just people who've come forward looking for a place to stay, not actually people who are the hidden homeless or people who don't come forward. And that on top of then that house prices here in this county were up 4% on the same time last year. So that's above the national average. The national average is that they were up 3.7% on the same time a year ago. The average house price now in Kildare is €340,000. Again, above the national average price of €322,000. So a lot of money there for people to have to fork out. And I was thinking about it yesterday. I'm not sure if anyone watches Cheap Irish Homes. I've definitely spoken about it on the show before. But a few years ago when the show started, the show was based on Cheap Irish Homes and all of the homes were under 100 grand. Now, bear in mind now, most of the houses would have been, you know, down the country, definitely needed a lot of work, etc. But the whole show was based around cheap homes that were under 100 grand. And now the cheap homes are like 250 grand. And that's in the space of a couple of years. And obviously they had to change that because I doubt there's anything out there now for under 100,000. But let me know what you think. 0833 97 97 97. Definitely, if you bought a house a few years ago, you're probably in the money now. Fans of the Netflix Sex Education now have the chance to own Otis and Jean's home. The iconic house from the TV show, located in Hertfordshire in England, is now up for sale for the small price of €1.7 million. You can now purchase the three-story residence of the show's main character and his sex therapist mother. So if anyone has around €1.7 million floating around, you can head on over to the UK. Lizzo, of course, the famous singer, has lodged her first legal response to a lawsuit brought by three of her former dancers. In August, the dancers claimed they were victims of sexual harassment, a hostile working environment, while on tour with the singer. Lizzo is now requesting the court dismiss the case with prejudice. So yeah, not good news there for Lizzo. 0833 97 97 97. Let me know what you think. Now, this World Heart Day, September 29th, two Irish registered charities, the Cardiac Risk in the Young Ireland and the Irish Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy, have teamed up to encourage families of young people living with an inherited cardiac condition and families who have suffered or are at risk of sudden cardiac death to avail of mental health support services, including counselling. I'm joined on the line now by Lucia Ebbs, CEO of CRY. Good afternoon, Lucia.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me, and thanking you, you know, for the opportunity to raise awareness on World Heart Day.
Absolutely. Tell us about CRY for people that might not know what you do.
CRY was set up in 2002 by parents who had lost a young son to sudden cardiac death, and they went looking for answers, and that led them on a journey to setting up the charity. So we support the centre in Tallaght, that, and we facilitate access to screening. But really what we do at the moment, our emphasis really is on supporting families, providing emotional support. And, you know, for us, it's so important that families know that there is somewhere they can go to, you know, to reach out and take help. We have a family support programme that offers, we have 36 volunteers on a helpline, and they're offering, you know, listening support. It's a mentoring service. There's bereavement support. We have a free phone helpline. I'll give you the number for that. It's 1-800-714-080. And we put families in touch with each other. We'll put them in touch with services, other services they might need. But just the importance of knowing, you know, it's okay not to be okay, and that the helpline is there. They can start with the helpline, and then if it's felt that they need more professional services, we will then put them in touch with, you know, maybe a local psychologist or psychotherapist.
Okay. And I, you know, when you say heart problems and, you know, cardiac problems, you automatically think of people who are older. So for a family maybe who have lost a child through this, or of course, if they've got a diagnosis, it's very hard to accept, I think, Lucia.
Very difficult. And it's estimated that between 60 and 80 people under the age of 35 die suddenly in Ireland every year. So that's devastating and life-altering effect on a family, you know, and communities, colleagues, loved ones. So we would, you know, we really need people to know that they shouldn't deal with this process on their own. They shouldn't be alone. And the CRY is here to support them.
Is this just for the young people who have been affected or are dealing with a diagnosis, or is it for the families too? Can they avail of counselling?
Families, friends, colleagues. So the free phone helpline is there. It's, you know, we've got 36 trained volunteers, so they can call that at any time. We'll get back to them. And then we take it from there. We also run, you know, other events. So like, for example, we run a men's group walk. Some people won't, you know, men may not like to pick up the phone. They may not want to go down that road. Mm. But we get them out on a walk. We have creative workshops. We have online support meetings. But it's really just that families know that we are here. You know, we're offering a caring listening ear to anybody affected by it, or if you're living with a diagnosis of cardiac condition.
Mm. And
it's free and it's confidential, and it's available across 32 counties.
And once you make that call, CRY can set it all up. There's 6 free counselling sessions with an accredited therapist for the people affected, which I'm sure goes a great way, because obviously we know in the cost of living crisis as well, it can be difficult for people to afford that. For the people who have already availed of these services, do they find them useful?
Absolutely. And a lot of our volunteers will have come through the service. They're on further down that journey, and then they come back and they want to help. And this is how they support us.
Okay, so if you want any more information, you can also email info@cry.ie. You can go on to the website www.cry.ie. You can also visit www.iacp.ie. Or, of course, if you need that helpline number one more time, it's CRY helpline number 1-800-714-080. That's 1-800-714-080. Thanks very much to Lucia Ebbs, CEO of CRY Ireland. Thanks very much, Lucia. Now, the Athgarvins Women's Shed has been going from strength to strength, but as always, they are looking for new members. And I'm joined on the line now by Carmel Murphy, who is a member and spokesperson for Athgarvin Women's Shed. Good afternoon, Carmel.
Good afternoon, Caoimhe.
Carmel, tell us firstly about Athgarvins Women's Shed and when it started.
Well, basically during early summer, so about June, there was a group of us just met up together because we had some people that were inquiring about having a women's shed out in Athgarvin. So we basically met up just to discuss what we'd do and what we'd like to do. Then we got in contact with Carmen Cashin, and she advised us of the first things to do, and mainly was to just get a place to hold a group. So I got in touch with Athgarvin Pitch and Putt Clubhouse, mm-hmm. and they were kind enough to accommodate us in the interim for our groups.
And as I understand, you already have 22 members, which is fairly good going, seeing as you only started this year in June.
Well, actually, Caoimhe, just to add to that, I was looking at our numbers over during the week, and we actually have 32 members on our WhatsApp group.
Okay, so you've jumped 10 in a week. Fair play. That's great.
Yes.
You meet twice a week in the Athgarvin Pitch and Putt Club premises, as you said. What kind of things do you do there?
Well, at the moment, we have done chair yoga. That was our first class to try it out, and we have carried on with the chair yoga because it was very popular. We also did, we had a jewellery making class, which was very successful. We ended up, the women, I think it was like something like 32 pairs of earrings on that one night, so it was very successful and really enjoyable. So then we do knitting and crochet on a regular basis. Basically, that's going to be there all the time. And then we have the walking group on July. And I suppose one of the main things that we have for the women's shed that we want to kind of keep it going and keep it along is for all the women to share whatever skills they want to have, they have that they want to share, because we kind of find that a lot of women have individual skills that they can share with anybody that they would like to.
Okay, so you want people to be open to, you know, sharing their craft, and then as well they'll be able to learn new crafts as well. Just before we move on, chair yoga. What do you do for chair yoga?
Well, basically, chair yoga is the same, more or less, as yoga, but you're sitting on a chair.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's...
I like the sound of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's more helpful for people that have some mobility issues, or like myself, that I have kind of knee troubles or whatever. So it's just handy there for that kind of thing. But you still get a good workout.
Very good. Carmel, what age group is the Women's Shed open to?
Various ages. It's open to basically any women over the age of 18 onwards. And we have a lady that joined during the week, inquired of the age of 92.
Wow. Well, listen, that's brilliant. I'm sure she'll have amassed a wealth of experience in her lifetime. I see here as well, Carmel, that a member working in mental health will offer workshops on that subject, something that's really needed, I think, at this time of year and I suppose at all times of year, but, you know, something that we need to be working on all the time.
Oh, true, exactly. Yeah, one of our members works for a mental health organisation and has facilitated training in different workshops. So she kind of said that if anybody wanted or was interested in different workshops and stuff, that she would give her time and stuff, because it's the experience that she has from doing her work, so she wants to share it on with others, which can be very helpful, I suppose, especially around this time of the year with isolation and the whole lot coming up, and coming up to now, Christmas and whatever.
Yeah, the dark evenings can get in on the best of us. You meet twice a week, Monday evenings from 7 until 9 and Wednesday mornings from 10 until 1, and again in the Athgarvan Pitch and Putt Club premises. Do you have to be available to go to both sessions, or can you kind of just turn up as you're free?
You can turn up as you're free Monday or Wednesday, even if you can only turn up for an hour and a half, even for different events, like, for example, chair yoga. When the chair yoga is on, if you don't want to do the chair yoga, that's fine, that's no problem. We still have the necessary space, or the space is made that basically the other women don't have to miss out on their nice day. They can come down, have a chat. We basically have knitting and crochet there all the time.
Okay. Again, Monday evenings, 7 until 9, Wednesday mornings, 10 until 1. And as Carmel said, you don't have to be available both nights or even for the whole session. You can turn up for an hour or however long you are free. And if you want to get in touch with the group, you can email Athgarvan, Women's Shed Athgarvan at gmail.com, or you can check out the Facebook page, Athgarvan's Women's Shed, or you can call 085-344-7520. That's 085-344-7520. And lastly, Carmel, you know, Athgarvan, not exactly the biggest place.
Sorry, Steve, but just to interrupt you there for a second, just at the moment, our Facebook page is Kilcullen Athgarvan Women's Shed.
Okay.
Because we were trying to get involved with the surrounding area, but we learned that there was an established group in Kilcullen already, so we have to wait another few weeks to change it back.
Okay,
to
no problem.
Athgarvan Women's Shed and the surrounding area.
Okay, but the number and the email is still going there.
It is, yes.
Are people from outside of Athgarvan allowed to join this group?
Oh, from anywhere they can join.
Okay.
There's no particular area or anything like that. I know, I think we have one or two members from Nace, we have another one or two from the Curra. So any areas are more than welcome to come along.
Okay.
And just to say, kind of at the moment, with the numbers we have, we just have to kind of work on, we might have to kind of take a break with some numbers for a week or two. So we'll have probably a kind of waiting list.
Okay, waiting list, right. Well, Carmel, thanks very much for joining us. If you can get into Athgarvan's Women's Shed, best of luck, because it sounds like they're fairly full up already. That's Carmel Murphy of Athgarvan's Women's Shed. Thanks very much, Carmel, for joining us this afternoon. Annual celebration of Active Journey to School, celebrated by thousands of Green Schools. National Walk to School Week begins on Monday, the 2nd of October. Of course, this Monday coming for 5 days. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Kira Norton. She is a Green Schools Travel Manager at Ontashka. Good afternoon, Kira.
Hi, Kira. How are you?
Tell us about Walk to School Week.
So Walk to School Week is one of our annual events that we hold in the Green Schools Travel Programme. And it's about kind of celebrating what's good about walking to school, maybe getting some of our schools that are involved in the programme thinking about walking initiatives they might do. It's about reminding people really that of the benefits of walking to school and how enjoyable it can be. Particularly around this time of year when we're not, I know last week was maybe an exception, but we're not seeing too many rainy mornings. It's quite nice and fresh in the morning, and it's a great way to wake up on the journey to school.
Do schools have to sign up to be part of this?
Yeah, so, well, anyone, I suppose, can take part in Walk to School Week, and we're obviously happy and would love to see loads of people taking part, but participation in the Green Schools Travel Programme is, we have just under 500 schools that are directly working with us. So they have an assigned officer who works with them and talks to them about their particular challenges and, you know, looks at the different modes that might work for them, you know, cycling, something they could up their numbers in. Do they have people scooting? You know, what can we do to help them? And then we have a lot of, like, nearly 2,000 schools who would have been awarded through our Green Schools programme on that theme. So yeah, anyone can walk to school, any school can take part, but we work directly with just under 500 schools this year.
Okay, what do you think the main barriers are to, you know, that are stopping people from walking to school?
Yeah, well, like, I suppose one of the first things is that, you know, the people dropping their children to school have other things going on. So, like, people may be driving other part of the way because it's part of a joined up journey where they're dropping maybe another child off, or they're on their way to work, or they're on their way to a caring responsibility. So there's those reasons. And then I think some people maybe just get into a habit. You know, it's a couple of rainy days in a row when you get in the car and you kind of just forget to stop getting in the car in the morning. And then obviously their safety. So we're asking people this week to really think about how their behaviour when they're driving in and around a school environment, whether or not they have any connection to that school, can impact how children can travel to the school. So, you know, people who maybe leave their engines idling near a school, or park on footpaths, or people who might speed, like, all of those things kind of impact the perception of safety of walking to school. And really, like, obviously there are schools that don't have footpaths through school, on, you know, national roads that have high speed limits, but a lot of people can walk all or part of the way to school. So maybe it's just about, like, rethinking the journey, or taking a second on a Sunday evening to consider what the plans are for the week and how you can fit a walk to school one or two of the mornings that week.
Okay, Ciara Norton, Green Schools Travel Manager at Antashka. Thanks very much, Ciara, for joining us this afternoon.